I'd like to begin this morning by just asking a couple of questions. And I'm really going to encourage some responses. I don't want to throw this out here rhetorically, but if you have an answer to one of these questions, it would be nice to hear it. And one of the things I just want to ask to begin is, what kind of Easter traditions do you have? What are some of the things that in your family that you do year in and year out? What are some of your Easter traditions? Does anybody want to share with us today? Say that. Big dinner with all family. What else? Anybody else? Well, mine is preaching to you every Sunday, every Easter Sunday. Any others? What kind of Easter traditions do we have here today? Going to church. Going to church. Okay, so besides worship that we're doing right now, what other plans do you have for today? I know probably a big dinner. Are there any other plans that you might have today that maybe are particular to your family? Say that.
Easter egg hunt.
Easter egg hunt at the house. Cindy, don't you remember there was a few Easters where we would take the boys and we would go maybe to see a good movie when we were in Colorado Springs? We did that a couple Easters, didn't we? She's looking, maybe we did. Maybe it was the day after Easter. I seem to. Oh. Well, I'm thankful for Thanksgiving, too. She says that that's our Thanksgiving tradition. Any other traditions that you'd like to share today? Because mine are about me. Anything else? What's that?
Talking to
your same family that's far away. Yeah. And that is a tradition that we will do. We will talk to our children via the telephone sometime towards evening today when everybody is assembled at home and ready to talk. Well, I want to share with you today that with a stroke of a pen, Abraham Lincoln threw open the doors of cages long locked through prejudice and greed. You know, I was thinking about that for almost 200 years, generations of Africans were caged in this vicious institution that we remember as slavery. And they were often beaten and they were chained and they were worked and they were worked to death in some instances. And so they knew firsthand what chains and shackles felt like up against raw human skin. And so it's no wonder that Houston Halloway, who was a former slave from Georgia, said this. He recalled the moment slavery ended, and he said that I felt like a bird let out of my cage. He said, amen, amen, amen. He said, I could hardly ask to feel any better than I did on that day. Well, I got to thinking that when you escape a cage, that's exactly how you feel. You feel free. And you feel free as a bird. We just heard a little bit from Mary Magdalene a few moments ago as she told the story of John chapter 20, the beginning, the first 18 or 19 verses of that book, that epistle, that gospel. And I'm reminded this morning that Mary Magdalene, that she struggled with her own cages, and she too was determined to escape. See, she had been a person who was steeped in great sin until she met Jesus. Remember, she said that when she met him in Galilee, she couldn't believe what he had done for her, that he had released her from the cage, and then she felt just this great love for his freeing grace. We were watching, the Passion of the Christ the other night, and we're reminded that long after everybody had kind of left that hill called Calvary, Mary stayed behind. She stayed behind because her heart was broken, and she was the last one to leave the site of her Lord's crucifixion. She felt imprisoned to remain there with Jesus and till Joseph and Nicodemus took down his body for burial. Mary had been released from her cage of sin's guilt, and now her Savior was dead, and a new cage of uncertainty just began to wrap its oppressiveness around her. With bloodshot eyes and tear-stained cheeks, she made her way to the grave in the darkness of that early Sunday morning. To kind of be there with me today, because I want you to maybe try to feel her pain, her disappointment, her feeling of entrapment. When we do all that, I find something fascinating there. I find the determination of this woman incredible. Even in her sorrow, she's single-minded in her determination to care for Jesus, to care for her Savior, this one who had pulled her out of sin's grip in the Galilee. When she arrived, she's shocked to discover then that this huge stone that covered the tomb has kind of been rolled away, and she probably tentatively peeks her head inside there, and she sees that Jesus' body is gone. And can you just imagine the incredible pain, the incredible hurt, the incredible disappointment that overwhelmed her at that moment, because her Lord's body is gone. And so she runs back to town, and she declares to Peter, and she declares to John, she says, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." And then all three of them, you know, they run back to the grave, and they find out for themselves that indeed what Mary is telling them is true. I can almost envision, you know, the grave clothes there, they're folded up and piled neatly there, and the body is gone. I can't imagine their pain, you know, because downcast, just right away, Peter and John, they return to their homes. But man, not Mary, right? Mary's determined. Mary's staying there. She's just got to find out what happened to her master's tomb, her body. And I'm thinking about this. I want to ask you guys a question. Wouldn't you want this woman contending for you? I mean, wouldn't you want somebody like Mary, with her determination to get to the bottom of what's going on? Wouldn't you want her sticking up for you? And even in her sorrow, and even in her pain, Mary's determined. And she's standing outside the tomb, and she's crying, and she just can't help herself because she can't really believe it. And she looks inside there again, and then she sees two angels sitting there dressed in white, and she repeats to them the same issue that she has. She says, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." And she isn't done with her questioning, you know. She sees who she thinks is the gardener, and she asks the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I'll go and get him." Three times she says the same thing. And I think about Mary, and man, she's really, really determined. Like a mom who finds out that a bully is hurting her children, and she refuses to give up. And she's going to find her Jesus. And man, she's pushing forward, you know, even though she's captured in this cage of sorrow, she's trapped in this cage of gloom. However, you know, not all of us, some folks, we just don't have that kind of strength. You know, cages come and cages debilitate. The weight of lugging all those chains around becomes just too much for us, and the cages closes in, and the bird stops singing, and the prisoner stops dreaming of escape. Just recently I read a very cool story about how to survive if you get trapped in a cage with a lion. Now, I'm not certain how one would ever get into such a position, but I figured this, just in case that ever happened to me, I better read that article. You never know the situation you might find yourself in ministry. And it said this, and it said you should stay calm and don't run. And I thought, oh, sure, that's going to be my natural reaction, right? Because I just got nerves of steel. No. But then it said you should start screaming, and you should do that just as loud as you possibly can. Now, I thought, that sounds like good advice. I think that one is doable, right? But I found something interesting there throughout that article. It never said a single thing about praying like your life depended upon it. But that level would be my very strong recommendation. So as you hear the message today, as you ate breakfast with us today, and as you heard the message, as you sang those songs today, you know, you might be struggling with some oppressive cages in your life. Maybe some of you today have been battling with difficult illness that's drained both your strength and your courage. Perhaps a doctor leaned across the desk recently and mentioned a terrible word like heart problems or cancer or maybe even liver disease or diabetes or any number of things, and you felt the cage tightening around your life, didn't you? Maybe your cage is living in the past. Maybe you're like, have made this horrible mistake a few years ago, and you just can't seem to forgive yourself, and guilt and shame of this situation just keeps growing and growing and growing. Or perhaps the dreams that you had when you were young just didn't work out. You know, you had so many plans and so many ambitions. Maybe you thought that you were going to make a difference with your life, but the circumstances stopped you in your very hopeful track. Maybe you really wanted to have a child, but somehow that birth never came. And you dreamed of raising strong, healthy, world-contributing children, but it just didn't happen that way. You know, maybe your cage is some sinful behavior that you just have become trapped in, and you can't quite get out of it, and you know it's wrong. And you know it's harming your family, and it's harming your friends, and it's harming you, but you just can't seem to give that up today. Perhaps you, just like Mary, have lost a loved one, and the sorrow has become overwhelming. Maybe you've lost your independence, lost your wedding, lost your children. When you look at it, it's a cage. So whatever your cage today, I really have some wonderful news for you, because I'm telling you without a shadow of a doubt, you can be released.
Amen.
Yeah, right. That's the truth. You can be released. Like Mary, see, you can determine that you're not going to let the rest of your life, that you're not going to rest until you find the answer that you're looking for, that you're not going to spend the rest of your life in sorrow, but that you are going to be looking for the answer that you so desperately need. You see, her answer came as she listened to her name being whispered. The gardener said, I imagine she stopped breathing for a moment. She recognized Jesus' voice, and she knew instantly that he was alive. And here's the good news, that in that instant when she heard her name being whispered, you know, her cage door was swung wildly open. And in that instant, the gloom and the darkness that was in her heart and was in her mind just exploded into a brilliant light. At that moment, Mary was released. Oh, friends, man, I just beg you today, listen for your name. No matter where you are in your life, no matter how bad you think things are, no matter how great things are for you, I'm telling you, listen to your name, because Jesus is whispering, Paul. Cindy. Yeah. Sarah. And when you hear your name, just look deep into his face, loved one. Wait before his presence. Because I assure you this morning that he is able to help you escape your cage. Now, he may not necessarily free your body, but if you'll let him, he'll free your mind, he'll free your soul, he'll set your heart free. He can do this because in an instant, in a moment, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus escaped his own cage, and his own cage was one of death. And since that time, he has moved from house to house, from heart to heart, all over this universe, releasing captives. If you let our resurrected Lord do this for you, like Mary, like he did for Mary, you will escape your cage. Race unashamedly with the good news and shout for joy. Do it with me, please. I have seen the Lord. Can we do that?
I have seen the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Now, I've given each of you a flower. If we could just take that flower out this morning. I have something that I'd like for us to do together today. Take out your flower just for a moment. Now, I want you to consider something today as you look at your flower, okay? I want you to consider how a flower represents life and beauty in our world. Does it not? Every husband here today, on Mother's Day, what do you bring home to your wife? Flowers. Bear with me here. Help me out a little bit. Men. Every Mother's Day or on your anniversary, what are you supposed to bring home? Flowers. That's right. You guys are good. Diamonds. Well, that's because diamonds and flowers represent new life and beauty in our world. So I have some questions that I want us to contemplate. Now, this is an internal contemplation for you. Is what area of your life do you need Jesus' resurrection power? So just for a moment, just consider those things. What area of your life do you need Jesus' resurrection power? And the second question is this. What area do you need God to touch and to bring new life? So what area in your life do you need God to touch and to bring new life into? Now, as you're considering those things, we're going to just take a few moments, listen to the beautiful music. But you know what? I'm just asking you guys individually to pray, to lift your needs up to Jesus. You know, for a minute, 30 seconds, a minute and a half, but whatever has come to your mind, whatever needs you have, please take a moment and lift those needs up to Jesus this morning.